Speaking of mavericks who affected the lives of a lot of people, here's a little comedy clip for you.
One of the great things about Irish mothers, and I think it's widely known, is that now and again, she would suffer from amnesia. She would suffer from a loss of memory. She would forget who her child was. Now, can you imagine a mother forgetting who this child that she brought into the world? Who do you think you are?
My ma doesn't know who I am. Doesn't know me at all. No, doesn't know.
Following day, she'd forget who she was herself. That's true. My mother, God be with her, I often think about, she actually used to forget who she was. Do you know who you're talking to?
Very good. And that was, of course, the late, great Brendan Grace. And an exhibition in honour of Brendan opened this week in the Newbridge Silverware Museum. And it features costumes from a lot of his much-loved characters and also a lot of other memorabilia. And who better to tell us about it than Eileen Grace, who was married to Brendan for 45 years, and Brendan's daughter, Amanda. Good afternoon, guys.
Hiya, Brendan. Well,
hello, Brendan.
Eileen, will you tell me about the exhibition first?
Well, it took 2 years nearly to get it together, Bren, with all the ups and downs with COVID. But myself and Pauline Doyle and Aileen O'Brien worked on it endlessly. So now we got it opened on Thursday 25th, which was very fitting. It was Thanksgiving. So I feel that the right time has happened for Bren because he was associated with so many families at Christmas time. Mm. So when I walked in to see it the other day, it's just stunning. I know Brendan was always a very dapper dresser when he was on stage, but this has taken it to a whole different level. He's very elegant looking in Newbridge, so it will bring a smile to a lot of people's faces.
Yeah, I bet. And of course, there are all kinds of difficult rituals people go through in grief, Eileen. And yeah. One of them can be going through the loved one's things and the effects, which brings up so much. But when you walked into a room, yeah, and Brendan's there all around you and those things so associated with him, it must have brought up all kinds of emotions, did it?
Well, it did. Like, there's photographs of all different people that we met down through the years. Like, when I walk into the room, it's literally my life now. Yeah. And it was Brendan's work of almost 50 years. So it was like almost walking into my own home, because there's beautiful photographs on a piano. And it's just very personal. It's very personal.
Yeah. Does it make you feel closer to him? Does it conjure him up for you?
Well, while I was doing it, yes, I felt it gave me a sense of purpose. But when I got home with Amanda and Terry on Thursday night, I was able to sit back. Now, I was very drained emotionally, I felt, after it. Yeah. But when I thought about it, I had a great laugh and I said, now, he's out there working. He's up in Newbridge and people are going to see him. So yeah. I feel I've put him back out into the world.
Absolutely. So he's got a gig for running up to Christmas and maybe beyond. I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Amanda, you saw it presumably for the first time on Thursday. Was it emotional for you?
I did, Brendan. Yeah, it was surreal. It really was. And of course, there were so many people. I left it a little bit late to have my own private preview. So I, you know, took it in while there was other people around, but I was just so proud and I couldn't stop, like, almost looking for him in the room and wondering, you know, just thinking how much he would absolutely love this and how proud he'd have been of me mam for making it happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah. How have you been since your dad died, Amanda?
I have been occupied, put it that way. I've kind of occupied myself a lot. I'm living in the house now, so you know, I've a different experience to my siblings in that I'm at ground zero. I'm at the home. I'm at the place where he was at home, and so he is physically there. We have his cremains are in the house, so I'm very much immersed in you know, where that kind of element of grief, in that he's still everywhere, like his aftershaves are around the place. But I've been good. I really have been good. I've been, as you would expect, a mixture of emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Eileen, how have you been doing? What's life like without him?
Oh, Bren, it's terrible. You know, I miss him so much. And even after the exhibition, I would have given anything to be able to talk to him about it and discuss it, because no matter what function we went to, down through the years, it was always great going home and going through it, the whole motion of the day, you know. But
Person that you can say anything to about anyone as well.
Nobody knows you better than your spouse. Nobody. So, like, it's a huge loss. And like Amanda, up in Newbridge the other day, I kept thinking myself, maybe he'll pop his head around the door or something, you know, because it's so real when you're in there. You expect him. You expect to see him.
Yeah, yeah. And Eileen, it's been, say, 2 years now. And more.
Yeah.
Does time help?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know yet. Yeah. The first year I came home in March of 2020. The first Christmas, I needn't tell you, was very difficult for everybody. And that was 2019. And so I came home in March to start the ball rolling for Newbridge. That was the 12th of March. We had our first meeting. And of course, everything started to close down on the 13th of March. So I stayed in Killaloe with Amanda and Terry for the whole year. I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed there. And I did a lot of grieving down through every month that passed. I kept thinking, he's getting further away from me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a feeling that you cannot describe. You have to live it.
Yeah.
You have to go through the motion yourself to know what it's like. But
I suppose on one hand, Eileen, you know that everyone's telling you that you are expected in one way to move on. And in another way, you're saying there, you don't want to let him go. Like he's getting further away.
He's getting further away. But the more opportunity that I get now in the future to do projects like this for Brendan, it will keep him very near me and very alive. I think that's what's keeping me going at the moment.
Yeah. And listen, not that all married couples aren't devoted now, as we know, but like it does sound like he really had a great old marriage. Like, I mean, he said you were his rock and he'd be nothing without you. Like, it's not every husband will talk like that publicly about his wife.
I know, he was very special. But you see, I think we were so young when this all started, and we were born the same year. Brendan was April, I was June. He would have been 70, April just gone, and I've just turned 70. So our backgrounds were similar, our parents were similar. So we had a very good start to our married life. And then when he started to travel Australia and America, I just got on with it with the kids, and I didn't know it any other way. So I made my own life while Brendan was away, and then I always looked forward to him coming home. So we always kept the element of surprise with each other too. We made date nights. Of course, my mother was a big instigator in that, because after I had Melanie, my second child, I was more inclined not to want to get dressed up and go out. And my mum used to say, you've got to do it. Get yourself dressed up and have your date nights and don't neglect it. Don't neglect your marriage, no matter how many children you have.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was great advice.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, it probably did keep the romance alive as well. I presume if someone is away for a while and then they come back and everything, it makes things that bit more.
Yeah.
And Amanda, I do get the impression, though, that even if he was away a lot when you were growing up, he was never an absentee father. He was very involved, was he?
I often say that my dad was almost like more like an older brother. Mam had five children.
Yeah.
So he was always present in that. My dad took up a lot of space around the house. So, and even still to this day, that's what's most odd about his absence, is the amount of space that is now left behind that he used to take up. And it's kind of like when you give up smoking, you're like, what am I going to do with all this time now? We're the same with the space. We're like, what are we going to do with all this space? There's whole rooms that we've reclaimed in the house. He used to be in. But yeah, when we were growing up, he was a huge presence in our lives. Absolutely every single day, whether he was physically present or not. And that hasn't changed, Brendan, in that, you know, the Newbridge thing, and we get to celebrate him so much. And what's different, I think, about our grief from my perspective as well, is one of the hardest things I think about grieving and losing your loved one is the aloneness, like it's only happening to you and nobody else is in it with you. Whereas we've almost a whole nation in kind of knows and is with us in it. And that's been a real privilege for me anyway, is to not be so alone in the grieving.
Yeah. And of course, you and Eileen have been together in the house as well. So I presume you talk about him a lot, do you?
Oh, we do.
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. We get a good laugh every now and again too, Ben, because he was, he had lots of idiosyncrasies around the house. And like Amanda said, we're still finding little bits and pieces of him, you know, that...
Go on, like what?
Well, he had...
Torches, batteries.
There's torches everywhere. Like Amanda said, batteries, plastic bags.
He liked a torch, did he?
Oh, stop. Yeah. Anything. Like he was big into gimmicks of any kind, especially for the kitchen. And neither me or Amanda are. I don't like anything up on the worktop. Brendan would have everything.
He was always prepared for war, wasn't he, ma'am? Like
really,
he was just torches, candles, batteries and cans of things.
Yeah, and toilet rolls. Yeah. I could have helped everyone in lockdown. I could have given everyone a toilet roll.
And he stole them from hotels, by the way, Brendan.
Really? Yeah. Well, a funny thing, no. I think the only time I ever met him, I was a small child, right?
Yeah.
And I was in town in Cork with my mother or something. I went into one of these, I don't know what it was at the time, kind of a pawn shop,
a dollar store. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where he was.
Yeah.
He was in there.
That'd be right.
And you know, for me, like, I was like, what's this massive millionaire celebrity doing inside in the Gigaw shop, like? And he was chatting to everyone and stuff, but that's where he was.
If he wasn't there, he'd be in the post office. There was two favourite places. Oh, yeah, the post office and... you know, some kind of a pound shop, buying cards.
Very good.
Buying cards and then sending the cards.
Very good. Eileen, I saw you say that being around Dublin now is very different for you than it was when you were around Dublin with him.
Yeah. Amanda and I were, was it last week, last Thursday, we were in Grafton Street walking down and we, like, there's a lovely vibe, as always. So myself and Brendan used to love to come back from Florida and walk down Grafton Street. And we'd literally only have our foot from Stephen's Green walking down when it would start. Yous are all looking at me and all this kind of thing. And it would go all the way down. We'd be heading to Davy Burns for an Irish coffee. And he loved it. And he had time for everyone. He stopped and got photographs. And then he met the younger generation who were big into Father Fintan Stack.
Yeah.
And they just loved it and were shouting all the lines at him. So for me, walking down last week, it was just me and Amanda. And it was the strangest feeling of just nobody knowing who you are after all those years.
Yeah.
I did see... a lovely guy. He's a singer here now. You know the guy with the red hair? He's a lovely big
Gavin James.
Yes, I saw him walking through town. And he was with his partner, I guess, and people were stopping him.
Yeah.
And it made me look and I said, that used to be me. Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
And Dublin was like a village
when
you walked around with him.
It didn't have to be Dublin, Brendan. As you know, Brendan was huge in Cork and Limerick, Galway. No matter where he walked, he was known. So, yeah, you miss that. There's so much to miss. It's a huge void.
Yeah, I can well imagine.
Yeah.
And listen, grief is such a complicated thing. Like, for example, you find it hard to listen to music now.
Oh, I certainly do. It just brings all my emotions up, especially when I go back to the likes of John Denver and James Taylor. All that music that was out for us when we were dating and then when we got married. So it is, music is very powerful in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And the thing about Brendan then, right, so he's very funny and kind of, you know, act the maggot kind of guy. But then he'd sing a song and it's so sensitive and so kind of beautiful, like.
Yeah, beautiful voice. I don't think he really realised how beautiful. And the one thing I am sorry about is I always wanted him to do an album with an orchestra of his favourite songs.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. But this year, believe it or not, he's gone vinyl. Back to his roots. We have a vinyl LP out this Christmas, which he would be delighted. Because people are taking down their record players from the attic and dusting them off. They're huge again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did he sing to you?
Well, I was telling your researcher recently, while he was sick in Florida, I got his guitar out and we were just sitting alone in our apartment and he started to sing Starry, Starry Night. I wanted him to start playing the guitar again on his shows. Little did I know what was coming down the line. But anyway, he couldn't play the guitar for the longest time because of his diabetes. And, you know, he had to prick his finger 4 or 5 times a day. So his fingers were very sensitive. Mm. So he just gave up the guitar. And I missed it. I really did miss it. So we did. We had a few lovely nights. That was in the May before he passed away. And he did sing a few songs, yeah.
So Camir, he was a kind of a but sensitive, kind of more thoughtful kind of person than people might have imagined, was he?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Like, if Brendan could help anybody, he would. If he saw anyone in need, he'd be the first there. He had a huge heart, and he was very sensitive. Mm. He was very close to his mother growing up, and I always find a man being very close to his mother and sensitive to her life, it becomes a sensitive person, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Very kind-hearted. Yeah, very kind.
And Eileen, you still look for him, kind of find yourself looking for him wherever you go.
Yeah, myself and Amanda are keeping a very close eye on the moon nearly every evening we go out.
Yeah.
And, I might just stroll out myself. We have a lovely dog. He's Amanda's dog, Ted. So the last time when he goes out at night, I wait for him to come back. And I'm always out looking at the moon. Some nights it's right over the driveway. And when I look up, I keep telling him that I'm looking for him. And, you know, I hope one day I see him again.
Yeah. Am I right, though, he sent a cat to look after you?
Oh, listen. That's the best of all, because people are saying that I didn't like cats. It wasn't that I didn't like them. I'm afraid of cats. I'm absolutely terrified. If a cat came near me or jumped on me, that would be the end of me.
Yeah.
I just can't breathe if a cat done that to me. Anyway, we came home after his funeral, and this little cat was sitting on the window ledge at the kitchen. And I paid no heed to it for a while, and then it was coming more regularly, so we started to buy food. And it's 2 years later and a bit, and the cat is still here. She's as large as life. Now, I don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. Amanda said it's a girl. So we called her Bubbles. So I don't know if you remember, Brendan used to have a skit on a cat called Bubbles the cat.
No.
So I christened her.
Yeah,
he used to do a Shanaki, yeah. So now she's Bubbles, and she's a full-time lodger. Mm. So when I see her now, she gives me joy, yeah.
Yeah, so that was his last joke on you.
Yeah.
Of course, he did tell you, didn't he, he'd never leave you.
Well, yeah, we discussed it when he was, like, really towards the end of his life, and he was worried about me being in the house on my own. And I said to him, I had talked to Amanda and Terry, they lived in Sligo at the time, and I had said to them, how do you feel, particularly to Amanda, how do you feel about moving back to Killaloe? And she said, no bother. I only had it said when she had the van down in Sligo and everything was packed and gone, and we were able to come back and tell Brendan, now Amanda and Terry are moving in with me, I won't be on my own. And he was delighted to hear that. Yeah. And I said to him, I don't know how I'm just going to go on without you. And he said, well, and he said it like it was just so easy for him to say it. He said, you won't have to. He said, I'll be with you every step of the way. I'll walk with you every step of the way. And I thought to myself, my God, where's he getting the courage to do this? Because Brendan wasn't great at acknowledging
sadness.
No, he couldn't. He always wanted the movie to be lighthearted. Mm. If he saw me watching anything on the TV that made me cry, he'd say, why would you put yourself through that? Watch something, you know, that you get a laugh. He
used to call them hospital films. Why are you watching that hospital film?
So we were all totally amazed at how he took this situation that was given to him, and he had no option but just to go at it. And my God, he did. And I have to tell you, Brendan, we were taken care of every step of the way with the Dr. Ali in Galway Hospital the Galway Clinic, and Dr. Cronin, who was the end of life doctor, and her team, everyone, the nurses. They take care of the whole family. It wasn't just all about Brendan. The family were just cuddled. We were minded. It was just amazing.
Eileen, I know he's still with you there, and he's obviously very present there in the house for you and in your hearts and everything. But I think a lot of women will empathise with the fact of when you lose your husband at the point you lost him. He was still a young man, he's 68, but that missing that final chapter that I suppose, or the next chapter that you were probably really looking forward to together.
Your retirement time, when time is easy for you, you're not on the clock, there's no running around. Even our grandchildren are getting older and he's missing out on all of that, you know. So, it's me now and I have my family. I'm very blessed and I'm very grateful. And I, you know what, when I look back on Brendan's life, I'm so grateful for being in it and being a part of it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And I have no regrets whatsoever other than the fact it still wasn't enough time.
I know, but isn't it a great way to be, to have no regrets though? Does it get does it get easier, Eileen?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm hoping for it to get easier and I'm looking forward to the longer days. I find like the dark days are the hardest days. And and regardless of what's happening to you, they're hard days anyway. And for all the people out there who's lost loved ones during COVID and the sickness and the sadness, I can look back and say, how lucky were we that Brendan passed when he did and he got his fairy tale ending.
And that you were all there. And of course.
Yeah.
So Amanda, I'm trying to figure out, are you minding Eileen or is Eileen minding you out there in Killaloe?
Dog is minding the two of us, to be quite honest, Brendan. But I tell you, we're great roommates, aren't we?
We
do very well together. We're very compatible, and we are very sensitive to each other's days. If one of us is having a bad day, the other one knows how to just give enough space, but also still be there. And we, you know, like that, Mam has said, we're very, very lucky. We got. I spoke to a spiritual guidance person in my life afterwards and told him of, you know, just I was expressing how grateful we were and I was replaying my dad's last days and hours and moments. And she said to me, you know, that was a triumphant death. And so like just, we really, really are so, so lucky. And yeah, we do mind each other. We absolutely mind each other. Yeah. And I have to say about my mum turned 70 this year. And it's strange that, you know, my dad, she has kind of overtaken him in that sense. She's gone off into her 70s without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's, you know, a forever 68, I guess. And that's a really weird one that, you know, I'm not going to get to know my dad as an old man.
Yeah.
Probably lucky because he had no intention of ever, you know, he had no intention of slowing down or retiring or anything. So I don't know how he would have coped with his elder years, to be quite honest.
Mm. Listen, he would have managed, let's face it. He would have done it with the style he did everything else in life. Well, listen, so many nice texts and people remembering. A lot of people actually saying it's about times they met Brendan, people who are, you know, they're nobody, and Brendan met them, but everybody was somebody clearly when he met people.
Yeah. Well, do you know, Bren, that's what I said about Newbridge. When people, particularly his fans, go to Newbridge and they see all his beautiful costumes in the glass case, they will all have photographs taken with those costumes down through the years, because Brendan always spent time after a show where he would sign autographs, get photographs, and he'd be there for ages talking to people, so they will recognise it, and I'm hoping that it brings joy and a smile to everybody's face when they do come to visit.
Absolutely. And that Brendan Grace exhibition is on at the Newbridge Silveray Museum. I just want to read you one nice text there, and it's from Nora Owen. So great to hear Eileen and Amanda on, reminding us all of the magic of Brendan. The Forget-Me-Nots Choir talk about him often on Zoom, of course, and that's love from Nora Owen. So he's still talked about, and he'll be talked about for a long time by everyone.
That's
Eileen
great.
And Amanda Grace, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brendan. Brendan.